We need to worry more. That may come as a shock to some because we always focus on the negative side of worry. We tend to focus on those passages like Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and following concerning what Jesus said about worry, and we conclude that worry is bad and that we shouldn't worry. But would you be surprised if you were told that the word, the English word, worry, does not appear in the Old King James Version? Or in the newer, the widely accepted English Standard Version, that the word worry appears only one time in the form worried? You see, the concept of worry, as we most often think of it, is in a negative sense. In the present, although the concept of worry in that negative sense is present in several words and phrases, especially in the New Testament, under words like anxiety and anxious and being disturbed or troubled, to care for, and in the Old Testament as translated as to hurt or to grieve, there is a positive worry, though, in the Scriptures. And that's what we want to consider this evening. But I want to begin by asking you to take part in a very good memory test. See how quickly you can answer this question. What were you worrying about this time last year? What were you worrying about this time last year? If you've not come up with anything, no worries. Pun intended, no worries. It probably wasn't that important. You see, we make mountains out of molehills because we focus on the negative side of worry so much that we trap ourselves into thinking that all worry is bad and that if I begin to worry, I'm doing something that is wrong. Maybe even something in my mind that is sinful. But that leads us to a very important point. That is that we don't need to worry about temporal things. It's what Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read beginning in verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Some translations speak of a cubit to his stature, to his height. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that they are not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself as one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is teaching His disciples and those who were following Him that there are things that are more important than what we eat, what we drink, and even what we wear. He first of all points to the birds and says, consider the birds. Birds in their wild state provide a good example because they are tirelessly industrious. Jesus is not discouraging hard work to provide for our needs, yet despite their constant efforts, birds remain far more dependent on the whims of nature, which Jesus views as God's provisions, than we as people do. We, who are so much more important and have so much more opportunity to use God's creation for our own ends, ought not to worry. We ought to worry less than the birds do. Jesus points out that our value is more of that than birds, because we are made in the image of God. So we need not worry about these matters if the rest of God's creation does not worry about these matters. So far as is known, no bird ever tried to build more nest than its neighbor. No fox ever fretted because he had only one hole in the earth in which to live and hide. No squirrel ever died in anxiety lest he should not lay up enough nuts for two winters instead of one. And no dog ever lost sleep over the fact that he did not have enough bones buried in the ground for his declining years. So many people put emphasis on the wrong things. And I think we do that to ourselves when we consider worry to be wrong. Worrying does not help us. It does not add life or years to our living, nor does it add to our stature. Worrying of this sort, at least, is unhelpful, unreasonable, unhealthy, and unnatural. But the uncultivated vegetation Jesus spoke of next does much less to provide for itself than even the birds do. Yet God adorns that vegetation with beauty that at times surpasses the greatest splendor of human raiment. If God then lavishes the lilies and the grass of the field, He will at least do that for us. So do not worry about what you will eat, drink, and wear, Jesus said. Rather, trust that your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Matthew 6 and verse 32. You see, if we put God and His kingdom first, everything else will follow and find its proper priority and place. Jesus stressed daily dependence upon God. And our daily dependence on God should take care of the worries about temporal things. But what about eternal things? Eternal things is a different matter. Eternal things and the worry of them is a different matter. And it's in that light that we view worry tonight. Worry about eternal things. Worry about eternal things like spiritual food. In Luke chapter 10, we encounter Martha and Mary, who are sisters. Martha was busy serving, doing work that needed to be done. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His words. Martha, though, was bothered by the fact that her sister had left her without help, so she approached the Lord in Luke 10 and verse 40 and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." Martha was quite pointed towards Jesus with her words, implying, if you really do care, then tell her to help me. But Martha was concerned with physical matters, preparing a meal for the Lord to eat, while Mary was concerned with spiritual matters, listening to the spiritual food and message of Jesus. Notice then what the Lord responded with in verses 41 and 42. "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, You are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Did you notice that Martha was not condemned for being worried? She was not condemned for being anxious, but instead was instructed to be more concerned about spiritual matters. Her serving was important, but at that moment, listening to Jesus was more important. So to worry about eternal things, such as spiritual food, is important. But to worry about eternal things, like the condition of others, is also important. In Philippians chapter 2, we find a positive and encouraging use of the word worry. English translations give the term as concern, or sorrowful, or anxious. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit with who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of His proven worth, that He served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Paul was concerned about the brethren at Philippi. Concerned to the point that he was writing to them and saying, I'm hoping to send Timothy to you, who is uniquely concerned about you as well. I want him to visit with you, but I'm waiting to send him upon hopes that I will be released from prison and be able to visit with you also. Paul was sending Epaphroditus in the meantime. Epaphroditus himself was longing for them and distressed because they had heard that he was sick. Epaphroditus was concerned that the Christians at Philippi were concerned about him, even though he was the one who almost died from his sickness. And so we find a very beautiful circle of worry, beautiful circle of concern. Timothy, Epaphroditus, the church at Philippi, and Paul, each one outdoing the other in concern about not their own affairs, but the joys of others. A positive reason to worry would be to worry about our souls and the souls of others. Positive worry is a feeling and expression of great concern. To worry in this sense allows us to move with effort, make changes which draw us closer to God. The solution for our worries begins with that thought. Turning to God, drawing closer to Him, drawing closer to His people. When we're first introduced to one named Saul, he is obeying his father's instructions and he's out looking for some donkeys. 1 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 5, the text reads that when they came to the land of Zorph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come and let us return, or else my father will cease to be concerned about the donkeys and will become anxious for us." Saul was concerned that the matter of time between their leaving home looking for these donkeys and this point in time would cause his father to forget about the donkeys and be concerned about his son and his servant. So he said to him, "Behold, now there is a man in the city, there is a man of God in the city, and the man is held in honor. All that he says surely comes true. Now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we have set out." Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is gone from our sack, and there is no present, nothing present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?" And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have in my hand a fourth of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God, and he will tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, "Come and let us go see the seer, for he is called a prophet," now was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said. Come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. The servant who was with Saul was correct in suggesting that they go and visit the man of God to have their worries eased. When we are worried, we would do well to consult God's people who ought to know God's will and be able to give good advice and direction. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 give even more of this solution to our worries. Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Once we have turned to God and turned to His people to help us deal with our worries, there are certain things that we should continue with. We should rejoice in the Lord, verse 4. The Christian's rejoicing comes from belonging to Christ and being united in His love and His purpose. Not in our circumstances, not in the events that are to come, but what is present, what we are a part of now. And if we indeed follow this advice to rejoice in the Lord, then it will be hard for us to worry. Because it's hard to worry when one is rejoicing. Verses 8 and 9 say that we should think on heavenly things. Think about the ideal way of life for a moment. The things that everyone wants deep down inside. Things which consist of fact or reality. Things worthy of being honored, worthy of respect. Things that are in conformity with justice, law, and morality. Things which give pleasure and satisfaction. Things that are commendable. Those things that are of excellent character. And things worthy of high commendation. You see, these things inspire action. And action on our part helps to lead us away from worry and into action. Action that allows us to receive God's peace. Verses 6 and 7. Take the worries and the anxious feelings and turn them into prayer with thanksgiving, is Paul's instruction to the Philippians. Because God will provide peace by protecting the hearts and the minds of those who are in Christ and turn those things over to Him. So indeed it is the case that many worries bring us down. But there is solution to our worries. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, faith looks up." When we're worried, we would do well to kneel in prayer and to look up to God. A deacon lived a very strenuous life in both his business and his church. One Friday, he commented that he had not taken a vacation in 25 years. The next afternoon, while mowing his lawn, he had a heart attack and died. His death may have been premature because he had never learned to play. See, many Christians are like that. More and more, we read about people who burn out. And those who experience burnout become moody, discouraged, and are less effective in their work for the Lord. And so as we consider worry, and we consider that bad side of worry, we must ask ourselves, are we worried and troubled about temporal things? If so, the Bible gives us the solution. Turn to God and His people. Rejoice in the connection we have to Christ. Think on heavenly things and receive God's peace. But if we're concerned about eternal things, that's a different matter. If we're concerned about eternal things, it may be that we are concerned about our soul, that we are worried about our soul's condition. The Bible also gives us the solution to this worry. Hear the words of Jesus and act on them. Matthew 7, verse 24. Believe in Jesus, John 1 and verse 12. Repent of sin, Luke 5 and verse 32. Confess Jesus as Lord of your life, Romans 10 and verse 9. And be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. If you're a Christian already and need to be restored, Galatians 6 and verse 1, and we will pray with you and pray for you, James 5 and verse 16, so that the worries of your soul may be taken care of. When we look at worry and we recognize that there are two sides to this coin, there is the one side of worry that is no good, that is not good for us to be a part of, because by that worry, we can do nothing about it. But there is the other side of worry in which we can change things. So we must remember, to worry about something that we cannot change is useless. But to worry about something we can change is foolish. Just change it. And so tonight, we ask you to consider the things you are worried about. See which field they lie in. Temporal things, which we cannot change, or eternal things, which we can change. And if it be the case that you are worried about your soul's condition, you've been afforded the opportunity by God to let Him take your worries, as together we stand and sing to encourage you.